We're at the Iowa Cattlemen's Association annual meeting being held in Altoona this week, and we're going to visit with the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, J.D. Alexander from Pilgrim, Nebraska. J.D.'s here to speak to the group on Tuesday morning. And J.D., as we were talking here, as you kind of look back on 2012, NCBA and agriculture, I guess, in general, has had a few victories to feel good about.
We certainly have. You've got to look back at the whole year, and we've gone through a lot of things, which we do every year, but there's been some regulatory things that we really were front and center on and making sure that it did not come to fruition. You know, I think one of the first things we look at is the child labor law. It'd be one, the Department of Transportation trying to get everybody to have a CDL license is another. Some EPA victories. So, we've got to be there and have our voice heard to make sure that they're not overburdened with these regulations.
You mentioned EPA there, and I know there's been some concern that if this administration got another 4 years, that the EPA may have a list of things they wanted to accomplish going forward here. So something I'm sure you're going to be keeping an eye on.
We certainly will, and, you know, that's something that, really we're watching all the time, regardless of what administration is in. You know, the thing that we've got to look at is, I always say, as beef producers, you know, we're stewards of the land, take care of the animals, live off the environment, make a nice living, but put it back better than what we had it for our next generations. But we're always looking at what they're going to do and come out with, so it is something that would not be overburdensome to us. It just seems like all too often, you know, people are making regulatory issues without really knowing what they're doing. We've got a lot of people that are non-agriculture people making up these ideas. So we've got to make sure our voice is being heard and they understand what it really is to live like out on the rural America.
Got to talk about the drought, of course, and in the western areas, it's a big concern. Well, with the lack of moisture again this fall, and not a lot of good prospects going forward here, at least right now. So what's this doing to the cattle industry?
What I've said is it seemed like the drought started a few years ago in Texas, and we saw the big glowing ball get bigger and bigger out of Texas. Well, finally this year it came all across the Corn Belt and right in the heart of the United States. It's a big issue. First off, you know, with the cattle, our numbers are as low as they've been in over 50 years. We're hoping to get some expansion. During a drought situation, you just cannot do that with your cow-calf ranching operations because the grass is not there. Feedlots, with the drought hitting the corn the way it did, we're seeing a shortage of corn, highest price we've ever had in a lot of cases. So for the cattle industry, it's a big issue. And I guess what we're hoping for is it's a one and done, but we don't know that for sure, and we'll see what comes with the Mother Nature in the next year.
And related to that is the renewable fuel standard, and the livestock industry, of course, was trying to get a waiver on that going forward, and EPA said no to that. You have plans to pursue anything legislatively?
I would say this. We're certainly disappointed in the decision. Many years ago when this was being discussed, you know, we were really not in favor of this at the time, but kind of come to an agreement that if conditions set themselves as to waive the mandate, it would be done. I guess what I would say is what conditions we have now certainly would be what we thought would warrant a waiver of that. But evidently, you know, our powers that be in Washington, D.C. do not see that. So we're certainly disappointed. You know, our producers will tell us and give us direction as what they want to do. Literally what we're asking for is we look at the ethanol industry. We're supporters of the ethanol industry. It's a mature market. You know, all we're asking for is to compete for corn on a level playing field.
Okay, a couple other issues in Washington there with Congress, and who knows what's going to happen there over the next 2-3 weeks, but the estate tax and, of course, the farm bill.
The farm bill is, once again, a total uncertainty what's going to happen. Of course, right now we have no bill at all, and it is uncertain if they'll do something by the end of the year, extend something, or wait for the new Congress to come in. So that really is an unknown in that aspect. You know, our biggest concern right now in the agriculture community, and in particular the beef industry, is the estate tax. If nothing is done by the end of the year, it reverts back to a $1 million exemption, and then anything above and beyond that will be taxed at 55% for the next generation. You know, this is just absolutely non-sustainable for agriculture. And I've said this could be the ruination of rural America. It'll be the destruction of the small towns if something is not done with this. What we've seen is an escalation in the prices of land. The prices of cattle are high. The price of commodities are high, machinery and so on. And it doesn't take much to get a pretty good asset built up around a farming operation or cattle feeding operation. And what really is sad is our next generation that hopes to come back and take over them is going to have to make a decision if they are going to have to, you know, sell off part of the assets, sell the land to continue, or, you know, they shouldn't have a choice in that aspect, I guess what we're saying is they should have the choice if they want to come back and run an operation, be the third, fourth, or fifth generation, they should have the ability to do that. With this estate tax issue, it is questionable whether that could be possible. You know, I think the other thing that we're looking at is we're always looking at the markets. You know, we've had, luckily, good markets for several years now. We're continuing to work on exports. We've had some good free trade agreements that have come to pass with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. We're working to expand the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, with other countries as well. You know, I look at it as we're selling roughly 10% of our product to, you know, 97% of the world's population. So we've got a great amount of potential in that aspect. So, you know, the other thing we've got to make sure is that we continue to continue our demand building process within the domestic market as well. We've got to utilize our checkoff dollars to promote our product to make sure that we continue to tell consumers that beef is a good buy and that we have opportunities out there for them to continue to purchase that as it's a good source of protein for their family.
There's been talk about trying to seek an increase in the beef checkoff. Is that one too hot to handle? Or?
That's a good question. I will tell you that NCBA, along with other organizations, industry organizations within the beef industry, have been meeting and talking about it. We've had several discussions on, you know, what could or should or things that need to be looked at. So I would say no, it's not too hot a topic, but it's certainly something that we're going to have to get our hands around and probably get buy-in from a lot of organizations before something could be done. And I'll just say that, you know, we've started those discussions, and hopefully we're going in some direction and we can look at what we really need to do with the future of the checkoff. You know, I'll just say that, unfortunately, you know, the checkoff, the dollar head that is checked off today is buying roughly half of what it did at its conception. You know, the dollar buying power had just gone down. So really, we've got to do something if we want to maintain the projects and the things that we've got going to promote our product.
And finally, let me ask you about the animal rights movement and HSUS and the egg bill in Congress. And I mean, what do you see happening in 2013? The cattle industry has been fairly insulated from this to this point. Do you have concerns that it may become a target down the road?
I would say that you're always concerned about that, and I guess my comment would be is HSUS is no friend of agriculture. It's no friend of animals in particular, and we know and we can tell quoted people from their organization numerous times over that they're to put us out of business. And to me, there's no negotiation with somebody that wants you out of business. There's no compromise in whatever. So, you know, I just came from Nebraska. Our governor is very adamant about not giving one iota into HSUS, and I think that message really needs to be coming across plain and clear. If people really do understand what they're about, they certainly are no friend of agriculture nor of the animal industry. So I would say we're always watching out for them, and you know, we'll looking out for beef producers first is what we're going to be doing.